Hi, everybody. This is Dorothy Mae Mercer, author, publisher, and creator of MercerPublications.com. It's been my joy to work with Marcia in publishing her amazing books. I'm president of Mercer Publications and Ministries, founded in 1993. We publish entertaining novels, travel books, music, meditation tapes, as well as books on how to do it for authors. Everything you need to know how to write, format, copyright, and self-publish your own books. Please go to MercerPublications.com and sign up for a free book. We'd love to send you one.
Welcome, everyone, to the Peaceful Planet Show this evening. And I want to you just put out a brief word of thanks to Don and Doug of the BBS Network and welcome you warmly to our exciting program. This evening, we're going to be bringing in an interesting guest, Laura Dare, who is a very accomplished person and has had a spiritual awakening by working with the Akashic Records with me and also with hypnosis and past life regressions, and also she's just an enlightened person, and she is an ordained minister. But before we get to her, we're also connecting to the energies of Valentine's Day and the energies of love and the energies of the divine feminine. So Laura and I share a very sacred bond of the divine feminine, and we've been in past lives together, and I know she's very able to tell her part of the story. And before we get to that, I want to announce my latest publication, which is Princess Diana's Message of Peace, An Extraordinary Message of Peace for Our Current World, channeled by Marcia McMahon. And I've been working on this book for maybe, 4 months doing the editing. And it should be appearing on Amazon midweek. And there is an older version that's currently on Amazon. So if you're looking to buy it, just hold off until midweek and look for the second edition because it's much cheaper. And now it's a collectible Princess Diana item selling on Amazon for $115. And I'm only asking $14. And a lot of my service work gets donated to helping cancer patients and helping others to heal. So I would appreciate your visiting my website at dianaspeakstotheworld.com. And I also do Reiki healing and hypnosis at enlightenedhypnosis.net. And then I would like to read Laura's intro and her short bio and welcome her to our program. And if any of you wish to call in during our pauses in conversation, you can do so at 888-627-6008. but I'm not doing live air on-air readings this evening, nor is she, but she is also a gifted intuitive, as I am. And Laura Dara is a clinical psychologist with over 30 years of clinical experience and 30 years of spiritual practice, 20 years in Buddhist meditation, community, and 10 years with the new teachings of Jesus. She was ordained a minister in June of 2016 as an interfaith minister. Her spiritual path has revealed a strong intuitive awareness and the conviction that this awareness is available to everyone. So welcome, Laura, to our program this evening. It's wonderful to connect with the energies this evening and
Thank
with you.
Thank you, Marcia. I've so enjoyed our friendship that has developed over our work together, and learning that we have shared several past lives together has been a real treat.
Hasn't it, though? And some of the past lives were so extraordinary. And we're not going into the details per se because that's private, but basically it's been so incredibly awesome to work with you. And while we've been in the energy of this, these past lives, we discovered that we're both energetically connected to the Divine Feminine Master. So please go on and discuss your spiritual journey a little bit more with us and how that evolved for you.
Thank you. My spiritual journey in this life started in an interesting way that my parents met in seminary. So I was raised in a family that had a big focus on the Protestant version of Christianity.
Yeah.
And so I always felt a longing for Jesus, but I didn't see his teachings being put into practice in my world. So as a young adult, I was drawn to Buddhist meditation. But then I found A Course in Miracles and had a huge emotional response, like, oh, that here's my teacher. I found him again. He felt very familiar to me.
Mm-hmm.
And through that practice, I also found his current teachings through the Way of Mastery, which are beautiful channeled, progressed teachings. And also I'm currently working with his channeled book, A Course of Love, which is about integrating the mind into the heart in a state of unity and helping us as people think from our hearts or know from our hearts, I should say.
Wonderful. And so I did a good deal of study of A Course in Miracles in the 80s. And it was troublesome for me because it's very complicated and somewhat I found it undulating and nonsensical at certain parts of the text, and I had great difficulty with it, but it was a sort of like an unraveling for me and a reacquaintance with the Master Teacher Jesus, and I did resonate with those loving parts of the Course that was very profound and powerful, and actually that's how I learned to channel as well. So,
well, that's very interesting. I didn't know that, because I agree with you that it is a little difficult to read, but I think it's on purpose so that it gets you out of your thinking mind and helps you to realize you don't know how to think and be willing to listen to a new way of thinking. It was through doing the lessons that I started a process of writing questions to the Holy Spirit and receiving answers. So I started channeling guided writings also through A Course in Miracles.
Okay, so that's how I started my channeling back in the 80s and then the 90s, and I was always able to channel. Even before that, I had some connections with Spirit, but nothing as profound as what the Course, it sort of undid me, and then I redid it after that. And it does have this period of unsettling and undoing. And, you know, I went through some traumatic experiences with the Course, and I don't recommend that everybody try the Course and, you know, just go ahead and get deep in the text like I did, because I was working two jobs and everything. So it was very kind of hard for me. But it is a terribly difficult thing to read. Sometimes it's got this convoluted stuff. But it's interesting that you share that about your ability to hear from Spirit and your higher self.
Yeah.
So,
you know, the first question I asked the Holy Spirit is, why does my cat bother me sometimes? And the answer that came was not something that I would have thought of, which was, because you think that other things are more important than love, including studying the Course in Miracles. And I was shocked because my cat was this completely loving, just pure sweetness energy. And I realized that it was true, that I was in my little intellectual mode and trying to understand the Course, and this loving being was in my way. And that got me.
And I know you love your cat. I've worked with you online on our Skype sessions, and the cat's right there with us. And even the cat in spirit came through that one time when I did a reading, didn't it?
That's right, because her name is Felicity, and you were
Felicity.
Hearing the name Felicity. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've had the pleasure of working with you, and it's just been my honor to reveal some of these incredible Akashic readings for you. And, you know, just delve into the divine feminine. So if I may read a few messages now and pause to reflect on what Diana has to share and that what Mary Magdalene has to share, then we could come back and you could reflect too, and then we could come back to more discussion about the divine feminine. Does that sound fine with you?
Beautiful.
Because I kind of forgot to present Diana's message, and, you know, I do this work diligently. So basically, let me get to it. I've got so many different messages. This is Diana on the Divine Feminine and her role as a master of the Divine Feminine in her life. And this is posted on my website. It's Princess Diana on the Divine Feminine. And Diana, I'm here at your service. I just received a most beautiful message from Mary Magdalene. Darling, I am so proud of your fine work with Spirit and that you're putting your beautiful program on the air once again. We in Spirit say bravo to your efforts, which will not go unnoticed. We are equally delighted to see that you're in communication with the beautiful goddess Mary Magdalene. For indeed, this is an era like no other, which will emphasize the divine feminine, even as I myself was a representative for that whilst living on Earth. My mission was to give each person a feeling of worth and love. In my touch and my smile, I did indeed embody the divine feminine, and also through my fashion statement, allowing me to speak to the mass consciousness without having to say a word. For as you may well know, the palace forbade me to speak openly, and when I did, for instance, about my marriage, then all hell broke loose. It is high time, indeed, for the divine feminine to be acknowledged and brought forth, for it will be the women to end the wars and the men that the men began, and the women who laid the way in the new age for mankind. Women have the love within their hearts, and it takes a woman to do so many things for this world. Likewise, men will have to bend more to compassion, to truth, and to allowing shared power for this new age, the so-called Aquarian age. I was away ashore in my life as Diana, and a superb example amongst the people of all the feminine could truly accomplish. It was my honor to serve and continue to serve for the benefit of mankind, which is what I am doing with you, dear Marcia. For in our giving birth, we are nurturers of the spirits of men. In this case, of course, my fine sons, Princess William and Harry. And then she turns to World Affairs, this is a dated message back in 06. And then she continues to say this: I urge all listening to my words this evening to look into the book my channel, Marcia, has written, and to buy the book that can totally prevent more war. My love and divine blessings, Diana, Princess of Peace, and goddess of the peaceful planet. So I love the way she phrased that. And she certainly, you know, empowered in her own way the goddess energy. And she also mentions that, you know, she was the grandmother of Jesus. And we had a connection with, you know, I had a connection with Diana, and it was brought forth through Bob Murray reading the Akashic Records. And then I came to understand that I had past lives. So I've never really shared with you how I got into past lives, but it was because I used to get Diana's messages from famous medium, late famous medium, Robert Murray, who is providing the wonderful music, and his son James as well. And they're connected to kind of all of the entertainment people on the other side. And Diana used to send messages of truth about me and remind me that I wasn't on the job with the World Peace Effort or whatever. And Bob would bring those through. And then Bob mentioned in this book that I've printed now, he mentions that Diana and I had a past life in England, and we were both well-to-do upper-class ladies, and she was concerned about charity works for children, and I was concerned about taking care of the sick, and I became a healer after my little girl died. So that's how I began an introduction to past life, because I was just simply curious. And then, of course, I had to go to another person for my past life regression, and that started in about 2007. But I've always had a keen interest in Jesus and also Mother Mary and Mary Magdalene. And so, you know, the connections that I made have become themes on my programs. So I would say that this theme this evening would be divine feminine goddess energy. And you know, we're calling in all the ascended realms of the angelic light, as well as the vibrations of the Blessed Mother Mary and Joan of Arc and Saint Teresa and Mary Magdalene, Diana, Mother Teresa, all the greats that are in spirit overlighting our program, as I feel their energies of this evening. Are you tuning in as well to their energies, dear?
Oh, with great joy. That was a beautiful message from Diana. You know, Jesus has been speaking through several people, saying that now is the time for the divine feminine to step forward and be honored, and for the feminine energy to be integrated into the minds and hearts of all people, male and female, for men to be in touch with feminine energy and women to be confident in bringing that forward. And, you know, when I was younger, I used to not like what seemed to me a sort of sexist distinction between male and female energies. Yeah. But now I realize that's just because I grew up in a male-dominated world. And it's okay to give names to things. It's just a way of trying to understand what is ultimately wordless. But, you know, male energy has an upside, which is, you know, discernment, the courage to take action. And, of course, the downside we all know of the abuse of power through control and greed. And but female energy has this amazing upside, which is the creation of life, you know, care, nurturing, inclusivity, intuitive knowing, trust. I mean, these are wonderful, powerful qualities that the world needs right now, instead of thinking of femininity as passive and helpless and not thinking clearly and being sort of frivolous. That's the downside of feminine energy. The upside of it is Mary Magdalene, is the direct connection to the power of creation. And so now we can integrate male and female, and it's a really beautiful thing. It's very exciting that all people are equally valued in this new vision of the world.
Oh, that was really beautifully put. That could be a nice sermon right there.
Oh, thank you.
And, you know, it's so true because, you know, well, we're going to bring in Lady Alora in a while, but the thing, you know, thing about this divine feminine energy is that if we can just allow the space for the creative, receptive side within ourselves, because I know I, like you, was in academia, and I taught art history and taught school, and I had to be in my rational mind so much of the time. And yet, I was always very drawn to the intuitive side.
Right.
And I never told anybody about the channeling that I could do because
right.
I was afraid that they think I was totally crazy. But, you know, now I know what it was. But, you know, I taught myself the same way you did. And I think that comes from your past lives where you were very gifted in intuition in many, many cases I remember in the joy of the moment of the regressions. But that is a gift that also applies to males. So, you know, we're not in any way saying that the masculine energy is, you know, a bad thing. I love and respect the great masters that are male, most especially Jeshua, but also Archangel Michael, who carries a little bit more male energy, you know.
Well,
and,
it's the courage to take action is the
right.
the male energy, and that's wonderful when it's connected to the heart and love, then
yes.
loving action is what the world needs.
Precisely. And yet, you know, women in our society, I think, are in American society, they're much more empowered than they were. But
yes.
they still have the double standard of still having to raise the children, make the meals, and work a full-time job, and clean the house, and do all the other things, you know.
Right.
And I think in time, there will be more acceptance of the equality of women. And what particularly concerns me, of course, and like you, I've visited the Middle East. And when I went to Israel, for instance, and I was staying in the old city of Jerusalem, a lot of the women, both Christian and Muslim, were fully clothed in really hot weather, you know. And so they're still repressed in some areas of the world by various religious teachings, and that concerns me. And then, you know, just in general, the overall, you know, worldly repression of women is, you know, it seems like we have a lot of conflict right now in the world regarding wars and potential wars, and it seems like the old power paradigm wants to hang on, but it must yield eventually to the divine feminine and allow women to also become leaders and men to be creators. And, you know, as we're going to move into the ascension and the new earth energies, things have to give way. That's how I feel. How do you feel?
I would
about
like
that?
To share something that I've learned through working with my past life story.
Riffing off of what
you just said about that the power and control paradigm must yield,
yeah.
I've learned that we all have what you might call a personal theme that we keep chewing over in each life, or like an original error instead of original sin.
Brilliant, yeah.
You know, it's like mm-hmm. an original mistake in our thinking that we got stuck with, sort of, you might mm-hmm. say, at the beginning of our soul that we reenact in order to heal and return to unity. And I've learned actually through Mary Magdalene that when we do return to unity, having gone through the experience of separation, we will value it in a much higher way because we will know how valuable unity is having experienced separation. So even though going through separation has felt terrible and dangerous and, you know, scary,
yeah.
when we mm-hmm. return, we will be full of so much joy to be aware of returning and being home in unity. And my particular theme that I've been working on is the thought that I'm unworthy because I failed to bring the light to the earth. And I got stuck in lifetimes of this thought of having to fight against the darkness to maintain the light. And you said something a minute ago that is so profound, which is that, in fact, the darkness just gives way. It just disappears. When you turn the light on, no more darkness.
Mm.
There's no battle.
Well,
and
thank you for
so
that insight.
Yeah, that's
marvelous.
What I've been learning in this life, that just by, in this life, by developing my awareness of the light and letting go of my own personal problems, the light just shines and the darkness just dissolves. And it's been such a relief for me to step out of the model of conflict and, you know, attacking and defending, that there is, as you know, the Course in Miracles says, there's a completely different way, which is the way of unity.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, how are we doing on time? 7:30.
Oh, we're just fine on time.
Good.
We're only at 25 after, so please share whatever else you were thinking of, or you know, whatever had in mind.
I thought to tell about some of my past lives, not just, I mean, it's an interesting story, but really with the point of understanding that we all have themes that we're working out, that each life is an opportunity to learn from experience, because you can't experience fully in the human way in the state in between lives. You can reflect, but you have to come into a body to learn. So I'm offering my story in the spirit of encouraging other people that all of us can really learn from our experiences, and whatever difficulties we're having now are, by definition, the reenactment of some old difficulty that's showing itself back up again so we can heal it.
Well, you are the psychologist, and you're the PhD, so you're the expert on that stuff. And I agree that I still see myself stuck in some places in some of my past lives, even though I work with past lives regression and I work with clearing the energies. Past lives can hang around you for a long time, you know?
And the thing,
the patterns that you develop as a persona going through these various incarnations stick with you. And sometimes the negative trauma of having gone through execution, as I did once in a past life, was just so traumatic that it seems to have contributed to some physical problems.
Yes,
and or feelings of not being worthy. And I think not being worthy is a common theme for a lot of folks. And that's because the world has particularly dealt a harsh blow, I think, to light workers in particular. A lot of us were burned as witches in the Middle Ages and done, you know, a great deal of evil was done to us because we were so dedicated to bringing the light, and we were gifted with our intuitive skills, and then, wham, you know, there they go again, the male.
Well, the thing that I've learned is that whatever negative energy I've drawn to myself in different lives is a reflection of my own negative energy, which helps me to not feel victimized by other people's fears. It really is ultimately my own fear, because I also have gone through the idea of separating myself from God, so I have my own fear about that. And anything that I draw to me is a lesson for me to let go of, to forgive that. Like, oh, right, that's that fear energy thing. I recognize that in myself. And not blame the other person for perpetrating it. And that's hard to do, but I've gotten better as it, simply as I tune into the love of God, and particularly of my two great loves, Jesus and his twin flame, Mary of the Magdalene.
Magdalene. Yes, and you know what I've enjoyed so much about working with you over the course of a year or more with your past lives and reading your records as well. It's been a great honor to do this work with you. And you're so spiritually advanced. Every time we do some kind of session, all this love pours forth. And it's so incredible that one time we were working and you discovered along with me that I guess I was discovering it, that you were related as I am to Lady Aurora, and that Lady Aurora or Aurora is a very high and angelic being that is kind of overlighting, you know, the divine feminine and the birthing of that from the beginning of time. Because, as you know, you've studied biblical things, and and the Sophia literature actually does predate the Genesis event, does it not?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
We've both experienced her as a kind of oversoul, you might say.
Right, exactly.
So she's the oversoul to many people that we both have, are sort of in her spiritual family, you might say.
Exactly.
I had a vision of her once where she was carrying a staff that was topped by a crystal, and it sent out sparks of light that I realized happened every time a human mind had a thought of love. And so then this connection with the divine would happen. And
wow.
I have also had this vision that Jesus and then anybody who did healing in his name was anchoring light into the earth so that there's like portals, you might say, where the divine mm-hmm. light comes from the heavens and the earthly creative energy comes from the earth, and then there's these points on the earth where those energies are connected. And Jerusalem is certainly one of those places, because that's where the most amazing miracle happened of his resurrection. That resurrection
exactly.
anchored the light of God into the earth. And we're all still figuring out that that's actually what happened, and that the light of God has been anchored into all of our hearts. And we're just now starting to become aware that that's true. So I have
yeah.
seen
it, and
Lady Alora has
true.
Been part of that process.
Yeah, and of course, Mary Magdalene is a wonderful illuminator and was consort to Jesus and his wife, and as well, I have a message from her that I may read. And then I thought it was very interesting when we both simultaneously connected to Lady Alora's vibration in the past life, and then she spontaneously channeled this beautiful message of all that she has been in the past and all that she represents now, and grounding her essence into the future. So I'd like to introduce that message, if we may. Is that
yes.
okay with you?
Yes,
and then
beautiful.
I want to talk about your connection to sacred sites, because I know you're a big world traveler, and I'd like to hear some of your stories about that. So I'm going to read the message that came through with Laura after we had done some past life work and divine. We're both visited simultaneously by the powerful archangel Lady Aurora, or Lady Aurora, Laura or Aurora, just as in Laura's name, or the R. You can say it either way. And I'd like to think of Lady Aurora as a spark of the divine feminine, but also as I teach the angel classes, and I do teach advanced classes in spiritual hierarchy and learning to connect to the angels for healing. That's called angel awakening. Basically, I learned that Lady Aurora, I learned it through you, actually, is connected to the fire of Archangel Uriel. And she seems to be the divine feminine of Uriel.
Yes,
so this
they're
is,
the masculine and feminine pair.
Yes, and so she speaks of her great lineage, and it's just such a powerful message. And I'd like to ask all of our listeners to listen with their hearts and open and say a little prayer of invocation that she would spread her love and spaciousness across the world right now and throughout our homes and living rooms and wherever you're listening from this evening. It's a beautiful message. This is Lady Aurora. I am the divine feminine energy, and I come with the greatest love, awe, and respect of the Creator. I am the creative intelligence of the Cosmic Mother, the birther of all radiance and vibration. I embrace you this day with the arms of the Divine Feminine. I held many names throughout the ages and the cultures, such as Shekinah and Isis, Mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, and many more in ancient culture. I am the mother to all of you, my people of Earth. I am the universal mother in the heavens, and I have robed in the purest white and gold cloth. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I am who am. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the dance, and I am the Shiva, the dancer. I pulsate with life energy, and I am the still waters of the soul. I am crying out to be heard in this society, which pollutes the earth and denigrates women in false teaching. I yearn to become one with my people. I and the Father are one, and yet my cries for my people go unheard. My children are dying, and the earth is in upheaval. I yearn for my waters to be free, and my people everywhere to have joy. Listen to my call and hearken to the call of the Mother, calling you home. I am Lady Aurora. I am the sound of the waves upon a beach, and I am the still waters. Blessed be all who hear my pleas for my people to make peace and let my children all go free. I bless you. Rest in my truth today. I am comfort.
Beautiful. Wow.
It is pretty spectacular. I have to admit, I've never channeled words that eloquent ever. And it came as a result of our divine connection,
yeah.
You know. So
when she said, I want my waters to be free, that really resonated. Because
yeah.
When I was on pilgrimage with a group in Israel and then southern France, I was practicing this intuitive healing gift that I've learned that I have, placing hands on people and reading their energies
do.
And sharing the images that come through. And particularly
mm-hmm.
when we were in southern France, where Mary Magdalene spent the rest of her adult life healing and teaching and meditating, I kept seeing this image. It varied from person to person, of the living waters of the earth coming up through the person's lower chakras into the heart, and
wow.
the divine fire or light of the heavens coming down through the crown chakra and through the third eye and the throat and into the heart, and the water and the light joining and creating life. And it was very powerful. Sometimes in people it would be like fireworks, sometimes it would be nurturing, but the image kept recurring, and I really encourage people to practice meditating on breathing up the divine waters of the earth, the living waters of the earth, into their hearts, and breathing down the divine light of the heavens through the top of their heads into their hearts, and integrating feeling, which is feminine, and thought, which is masculine, into knowing in the heart.
Wow, that is just magnificent. You know, as you spoke the words, I experienced all that. It was like a kundalini activation in a mini form, you know, right now as you said it. It's beautiful,
yeah, it
Laura.
Is. It is.
I had never heard that before, but I know we've talked a little bit in our sessions and in your regressions about the sacredness of, like you mentioned, Mary Magdalene's cave and other caves in Egypt and temples that were set into rock and, you know, different sacred sites that you've visited either in your past lives or in this present life. And, you know, I personally feel that you always go to the same places that you've been incarnate in another lifetime. So
you're drawn to them. Like people on my pilgrimage, several people would say, oh, are you drawn to go to Egypt? And I would always say, no, it's too hot. And people would say to me, that's a pretty strong reaction. And I finally heard myself like, oh, of course, I can't be having a strong reaction like that if I didn't know that Egypt is too hot.
Well, I was in an Egyptian dynasty, and I have, you know, an interesting side story. It's brief. The first thing that when I entered into my first past life experience, I had some profound past life experiences with Lady Diana in England. But then the next life I visited, I was fanning myself, and it was covered in flies. And I said, oh, it's just so hot here. The flies are just everywhere. And then the hypnotist says, oh, look around a little bit. What's going on? And I see all these temples being built. And then I figure out, you know, who I was. And I was an art history professor. So, you know, often I would design these PowerPoints around previous lifetimes. And mm-hmm. I suspected that I had a connection to Akhenaten and Nefertiti, which it was confirmed during the past life regression. But, you know, the same day I went to get the past life regression, I came home, and I had been teaching Egypt, oddly enough, and it was just, it's more than pure coincidence, I'm sure. But then I arrived home with 20 PowerPoints about the specific dynasty that I was in. It's like spirit couldn't be more frank about it, you know, sometimes. So, yes, I relate to the heat of Egypt. Yes, definitely. It was awful heat. But it was interesting. Being in Egypt was, you know, it was phenomenal. Some of these lifetimes that you and I have had are so beautiful.
That was one lifetime we've shared where I was a priestess in Egypt, and my role was to ensure that the energies of the sacred feminine were securely implanted in the earth, awaiting a time when the earth herself would waken up and help humanity regain balance, because already at that time the negative side of the masculine power had gained too much ascendancy.
Yeah.
And I remember as we were going through this, it became clear that I would go into trance as a priestess and, you know, say prophecies, and you were my scribe and you wrote them down.
Exactly.
And I remember being much taller than you, and I could physically feel myself being tall and you being shorter, but writing everything
right.
down. And
yes,
another
and
life that we shared was similar, that you,
right.
we were in a convent together, and I was the abbess and was fairly tall, and you were you were in charge of the scriptorum, where women and just have it be heard that it was not monks only that copied the Gospels. Women were
correct.
Diligently writing out the Gospels and illustrating them, and you were in charge of that aspect of the work of the convent.
And as you say that, my chills just run through my body as a confirmation, mm-hmm. so I know that it's true, but it was a total discovery to me that I shared that life in Salzburg with you. And I had been there in this present life when I was young. All of our family went over to study in Salzburg, and I used to go up to that very monastery like every day and paint. And I even went in and did sketching of the graveyard. It's like so weird, you know, to think
yeah.
that your remains are still there. But you were a very renowned abbess, and then we did some historical research because we thought this was significant, and it turns out that you were, in fact, recorded in history, and you could look it up, and it
yeah.
was just, I love when coincidences like that happen. It's way more than coincidental. But,
yeah.
you know, you were, I was always your scribe, and even now I'm still a writer, even though I don't type very well, and pardon my typos in my emails and in my and with books it takes me forever, but I haven't given up that skill. That's still my calling, you know. So it's like interesting the way the talents, you know, come through from each lifetime. But you always held positions of great spiritual leadership and decision making, and I don't think I felt as comfortable with that, but I felt comfortable in the creative arts with, you know, painting and with calligraphy. And my themes seem to have revolved around spiritual evolution. I was always somehow helping in a whatever way I could for spiritual evolution to come forth. So while you're directly more linked to the divine feminine, I would say that I am too. But it's like one of my themes is spiritual awakening and helping other people to awaken to the truth of the new teachings. And I'm always around a great teacher that seems to be bringing in some great new teaching. And now we're all kind of teachers, aren't we,
yes.
Beth, Laura? And
yes.
so there's no one particular master necessarily going to come back. And, well, this is what Archangel Michael told me anyway in the Ascension Teachings with Archangel Michael.
That's completely true. There is no master that's going to come back because that would be a distraction. I've been told that by the Holy Spirit very clearly.
Yeah.
That would confuse people again and get people focused on the person's body and personality.
Right.
Because what the second coming is the awakening of the collective mind of humanity to know that we are the Christ mind. That's the second coming. And I've seen that Jesus and other spiritual masters are speaking through anybody who will listen. Lots of people are receiving the spiritual wisdom. I could name probably five people right off the top of my head who are receiving very clear teachings. So it is a very exciting time, and my message to everybody in this this radio show is to calm your mind and body, breathe the breath of God, because the breath is your link. It is the Holy Spirit, so it is your link to God. The Course in Miracles says the Holy Spirit is the communication link between the separated child of God's mind and the mind of God, and the breath is the physical manifestation of that link. So calm your body and breathe in the breath of God and listen. And sometimes you just get a word or a phrase or a feeling. I have found writing to be very useful. Not everybody's a writer, but what's beautiful about writing is you can write a question and then you can write whatever answer comes to your mind. And everyone
it's very interesting that you describe it that way, because it's exactly how I taught myself to do channeling. I would have a very busy agenda, and I was a teacher, and I'd have a multitude of tasks in one day because I'd serve 300 people at one time a day. And so I'd be kind of like, where do I start first, kind of. And I'd need to do morning pages before I went in, or when I came home, I would do a question and answer. And that's how I taught myself to channel. But without that spiritual guidance as a rock and an anchoring point, that inner knowing, and that is divine feminine. But males do it too. There's a lot of great men working in intuitive development that also channel Jesus as I do. And I'm thinking about the next book with, the past life regressions I've done with other people, with Jeshua, and getting some people that have walked with the master to write, and then I've received a lot of messages from Jeshua and Mary Magdalene. But, there's so many different versions out there and so many different channeled books and also books based on the past life of Jesus, and this has been one of my themes on the show, so I have a good deal of research over the years. Called the Holy
Grail Mysteries. That, of course, interests everyone. Everyone wants to know more about his life and his true teachings now that the world is finally ready to hear his teachings. His teachings,
yes, exactly.
2,000 years
like
ago,
it only took
so
2,000 years for this to happen. You know?
I'm sorry?
It only took 2,000 years for this awakening, you know?
Well, we've been working on it for 2,000 years.
Yeah.
You know, we've all been working out our fears and tuning into God and believing in his message that God is love. If there's one message that got through, it was God is love. And that's that people didn't know that before. And so, it's taken 2,000 years for that to come to fruition, but it's coming to fruition.
Yeah, I really think that I am of the opinion that the crucifixion didn't really need to happen, that it was an unfortunate event. But nonetheless, Jesus is primarily interested in love, and I think if he were to reincarnate, he would teach the same thing today and probably still come up against the same resistance, because people, that's the hardest thing, to just release their attachments to things and places and people and jobs and ideas and just come down to it. And now we have technology interfering too. A good deal of time is spent on the cell phones and the texting, and
Right. But the upside of that technology is that the teachings that he is giving through people whose minds minds are open can be
right.
quickly promulgated through the technology. So the technology has a very beneficial upside.
Oh, and absolutely. And BBS is an absolute miracle. And the fact that they were open to letting me start my show in 2004, and there's so much information, dissemination of all the various wisdom teachings from all the masters, not just Jesus, but the Eastern masters as well. And it's all conveniently located with the Google, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, wow, you can gain, you know, all kinds of information. You do a past life session, the next thing you know, you can look it up historically and find out your name, you know? It's like, wow. So it was a great deal of fun doing that with you. But before we close and go to the music, I just wondered if you had any parting thoughts or wisdom. It's truly been a pleasure to have you on air.
I would like to share this little practice using two Aramaic words. I am not a scholar of Aramaic. I have read some books about the inner meanings of Aramaic.
Please do.
J.M. Hammer, who is the channel for the Way of Mastery, has some beautiful teachings about the inner meanings of Aramaic, as does Neil Douglas Klotz. I want to give a credit to these wonderful people who are sharing this linguistic treasure, and also a man named Lars Muhl, M-U-H-L. So I'm not sure which of these people I got this practice from, but there are two words in Aramaic, inanna, which means I am, as in the great I am, the beingness of being, and rachma, which means the love of God, everything that is, which is love. So to practice saying inanna rachma.
Inanna rachma. Is that correct?
While you breathe in inanna and then
inanna
breathe out rachma through your heart. So let's just do that a couple of times before we close. So breathe in, inanna, imagining
inanna
the great I am, light and living waters of the divine filling your body. And then breathe out through your heart chakra, rachma.
Rachma.
Inanna.
Inanna.
Rachma.
Rachma.
And I have found that sitting and practicing that, my heart starts to feel very warm and energetic, and I feel very nurtured and lively. So
that's your energy. I love being with you because you're very loving and kind and nurturing, and you are a marvelous minister, and it was really beautiful for you to share that Aramaic. I always say the Aramaic prayer of the Lord's Prayer in Aramaic in my groups, and there are people that I know that can even sing it, and it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So it just brings us back to that that wonderful time.
I could close with that prayer if we have time.
Oh, why don't you close with the Aramaic prayer, and then we're going to close out with some music too.
Okay.
So please recite it if you know it, because I don't know it in Aramaic.
Abun Dabwa Shemaya Nita Kadasha Shemach Tete Malkuta Nehwe Tivianach Ikana Dabwa Shemaya Opa Araha Haulan Lachma Dasun Kanan Yamana Wash Boklan Haubain Ikana Dabkanan Shabokin Chayabain Ula Talan El Nisiona Ela Pautsan Min Bisha Metol di laki malkuta uhaila utish bokta el alam almin. Amen.
Amen. Wow, that's really beautiful and powerful. Thank you so much for sharing that Lord's Prayer in Aramaic. You know, we're going to have you on again, and you can share more of your experiences with Divine Feminine, everything. I thank you so much for sharing your story with us this evening and gracing our presence with the Divine Feminine, Lady Laura Dare, Dr. Laura Dare. And I commend you also for going with your intuition and going forth with becoming a minister and opening up your chakras to healing. It's just been such an adventure to know you as a friend. So thank you so much for joining us, and we're going to close out with something for Gossamer Wings, inspired by George. Thank you so much, Laura, for joining us this evening. It was very gracious.